Good morning. Day 141 in the Revival Talks. Remember, we're going to go to 1,000, so stay tuned. What does that make it? Somebody do the math, right? Okay, so you know, I love how car is my sanctuary. We talk about that a lot. You know, we got to find these places where we have a place of sanctuary, where we pull away from the world and we magnify God in the sense that we are not magnifying and elevating the voices of everything that we're getting bombarded with. So we magnify God by magnifying his word over circumstance. So that's a good thing. Right. So anyway, on the way in, I heard a couple things. I heard these words, seismic shift, avalanche, and the appointed time. And you know, a lot of times, I don't usually talk politically, and I'm not going to get into politics per se, but I'm going to label something in a different way. And I've labeled this way before. We've often looked at our culture, particularly in light of politics, and looked at Democrat versus Republican and, you know, et cetera. And we look at, you know, there's kind of corruption in both places. Corruption is not unique to a party, but it's unique to man. And but at any rate, you know, I don't really see things in that light as much as I do this. Where is it? Okay. Oh, yes. At the appointed time, I mean, sorry, wait a minute. Matthew 24. Sorry, I got like five verses highlighted over here. Okay. Matthew, in Matthew 24, he talks about in the end, many people's love will, lawlessness will increase, and many people's love will wax cold. And that's where we're living. Okay, if you think about what lawlessness really is, lawlessness is kind of like narcissistic personality disorder on steroids. You know, no law applies to me. Everything goes hedonism, raw hedonism. You know, lawlessness is like the movie Purge on steroids, right? Lord of the Flies, right? So when love grows cold, I think part of the reason love grows cold is because so much has come in and clouded our, you know, we've been bombarded by so much and we've been through so much that for many, their response to, you know, for many of us, we went through the fire, got taken out, smashed, burned up, all of those things a number of times. You come out of that in a couple of places. You come out of that, the good place would be, yes, my journey has been very messy. And God has never been looking at that mess. He's been looking at the one who made it through the fire. And we come out of there with Egypt out of us. We come out of there no longer an orphan. We come out of there with a solid sense that knowing God is good and that we are trusting in the God of the impossible, living unscripted lives with ease as we move, live, and have our being in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we become a prophetic intercessory habitation of Holy Spirit. And we come out of that knowing that we are the revival. We carry the manifestation, the kingdom of heaven is inside of us. So for many of us, you know, we are a least of these because of what happened to us and how messy that journey is. And we are the most unlikely people to go from obscurity to center stage, metaphorically. We're the band of ruffians, the least of these, the most, the ones that have been disqualified on every front. And that's the ones that God says those guys could carry manifestation, manifest sons and daughters of God. They could carry heavy weight, not because they weren't messy, not because they didn't screw up, not because their lives weren't a train wreck, but because they know who I am and they know that I'm the God of the impossible and that they could walk into every battle with a small stone, not as a victim, right? Not as an orphan, but as someone who belongs in the battle, who knows who their backup is because he's the one that does the battle. And that with that smooth stone, they could take down any giant. And we can walk in places that are radically unfamiliar to us where we don't feel qualified. We don't feel remotely credentialed because we can do anything. We don't always believe that. We don't believe that we're limitless in what we can do. And that's part of that's because we haven't employed our imagination and connected it to our faith in the word. But But God does. So he knows who you are. He knows who I am. He knows what he's got. And his view is so much more redeemed than ours. So when you look at that, going through stuff, if you come out like we do as a manifest son and daughter of God, knowing God's good, no longer an orphan, no longer a slave, right? Or you could come through that bittered and embroiled in doubt and unbelief. And many of us have had that season already, right? And your love grows cold. And so now you have a culture where love has grown cold and lawlessness abounds. Never really too scary to me, because as dark as it gets, the light will only get lighter, and there isn't any darkness that light doesn't penetrate, and that isn't light to light. And so I don't worry about what's coming in that regard. But lawlessness, you know, instead of looking at things politically, I think it's easier to define our culture in the terms of lawlessness and love grown cold. If you think about the things that line up with lawlessness, what are they? Immorality, fluid sexuality, trans everything. What else? Abortion, right? Killing babies after they're born. All of those things, everything that pushes the fringe on the moral edge where all things go, everything is hedonism, we embrace everything dark, that's what lawlessness looks like. Now, if that happens to line up into a political party more frequently and more often than another, then so be it. But the real thing that God is establishing through those that he's raised up, even in President Trump, the least likely, nobody thought he could do it, nobody thought he could do it, and nobody thought that he was the Cyrus in the wings that God was going to raise up to be a culture shifter. And I really believe that he will. This is my only little political statement. 2020 will be a landslide victory. That'll be the largest landslide that the history has ever known in an election. He's not going to just win it. He's going to win it really, really good. And I'll tell you what's happened, just my perspective, my little tiny perspective. The impeachment was the last ditch effort, okay? After the impeachment, as the last ditch effort to take out God's appointed one, to usher in an era of righteousness into the land. You know, we're looking at Isaiah 60, arise and shine, your light has come, right? The light has come. God has put somebody in there that is going to be a culture shifter, and we will measure our political history as pre and post Trump days. I believe that. Because there is so much of a shift that's coming. It's a mute point to even talk about why him, etc. It doesn't really matter. It is him. And so he is the Cyrus that God's appointed. He didn't have to have a clean, perfect past in order to be in that position. Sometimes we have to be that person in order to get something done. Otherwise, we do religion. But anyway, so what I feel like has happened, you have this huge shift, right? And the impeachment was kind of the last order of things. I believe that there has been a seismic shift in the land that coincides with all of the ages and convergence of the ages of the church, where everything is available. It coincides with worldwide revival that is not going to end. It coincides with all things coming together at this time for such a time as this. It coincides with many people having very long, protracted seasons of transition, because we were being prepared for a landscape that wasn't just going from one promotion to another promotion. It was going to a whole new landscape where everything is different. And the landscape has so much more in it. You haven't been being prepared just for your next job. You've been being prepared to do the thing you were created for when you were conceived in him before you were born in the book of life, right? We were with him. And that landscape is so much broader and bigger than anything we could ever imagine. And that's precisely why the season of transition and preparation had to be and has been for many so painstakingly long, etc. Okay? But a seismic shift is this. By the way, I'm available. I'd love to come to anybody's area and leave what we're doing right now. I love doing this. doing prophetic stuff and doing stuff where we just release revival, and as we all do. But here's a here is a seismic shift. It is a fundamental reorientation of the state of affairs. Good morning, Miriam. Oh, I love this lady. You're so awesome. It is the fundamental reorientation of the state of affairs. It is often used in social, political, or economic context. It's an allusion to the drastic change to the landscape caused by massive earthquake. At the impeachment, at the end of that process, that earthquake happened. And there is a seismic shift that is being released. There is a massive Holy Ghost earthquake that has been released into the land. And the product of a seismic shift, because those are the three words I heard, seismic shift, avalanche, and a point of time. An avalanche is when we, in physics, is when we undergo a rapid increase in conductivity due to an avalanche, right? Here's another one for avalanche. All right. Where did my definition go? Here we go. A sudden arrival or occurrence of something in overwhelming qualities. Okay, that describes the unmeasured grace that's being released in revival. Overwhelming quantities. We've had a seismic shift in the land, in the earth, and I believe that the impeachment end was that there was an earthquake in the spirit that happened. That created a seismic shift in the land. We knew prophetically going into 2020 that we were going to be living in a place of accelerated and redeemed time, where God does in a day what he would normally take 10 years. We knew that. We knew it was a time of fulfillment prophetically, where prophetic promises are converging and being manifest, and that we were going to do the very thing that we were created for. That we were, like Joseph, out of prison. We dropped off the orphan card. We dropped off the victim card. We dropped off all the other cards. And we became a people who, however messy our journey has been, we became a people who know that God is good. We know who we are. And we know that we are the habitation of Holy Spirit. And that we are the revival wherever we go, whatever we do, whatever we release, and everywhere we go. So we came out of that in a place where God could really put some heavy mantles and heavy responsibility on our shoulders. Not because we did it right, but because we got through the fire and we made it intact, knowing who our God was, and we drilled deep because we couldn't do religion, and we drilled deep and we found the God of the universe, the God of the impossible, the God that can do all things. We found him. And we find ourselves in a place now where living in the realm of the impossible is our new norm. So we are always relying on the God of the impossible. And we're doing that now, not from orphanhood, not from victimhood, but from a place of rest as one who knows our God. We came through all of the fires to be in a place as a wild ruffian beat up, however we were. We became a least of these in the eyes of most people, the least likely to ever. And the least of these are always the ones that God raises up to confound the wise. He does foolish, crazy things that blow people's minds. And it's going to blow his people's minds when we see the ones that we have so relegated to the sideline begin to emerge and come from obscurity to center stage overnight, or the ones that we thought were dead and gone and buried and the most tatted, the most whatever your picture of the most beat up, unlikely person to be, that's the ones he's raising up. Many of us will be offended. I won't be offended. And so we've had this seismic shift that happened with the impeachment process, that there has been a release in the entire planet right now. And the avalanche that has come is basically, when the avalanche has come, it means that there are things that are sudden. I kept seeing that scene from Lord of the Rings with, Gandalf on the side of the mountain, Hey, good morning, Tanya. And where the avalanche happens. avalanches take things and things begin to fall and crumble. And then this seismic shift, the avalanche of religion is falling flat down. Things are breaking off all over the place. The other thing that a seismic shift releases is it is a shift that goes through the entire planet. And the ripple effects of a seismic shift will take years to see how that thing plays out. And so in that seismic shift, I believe we're going to see not only the billions, but there is a shift in righteousness coming, a shift. God is releasing righteousness into the very earth. And that's why I believe we will describe this as a pre and post Trump era, because he is God's Cyrus that he raised up to do this. But more importantly, we're going to see a shift in our culture. I believe that after that impeachment process, you're going to find a realignment of many, 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 many people, okay? Because evil has run its course and failed. Lawlessness at its apex and epitome was metaphorically played out with what came against Trump. It is the hugest metaphor of what lawlessness and evil in a land does when it tries to take out righteousness. Literally, I don't care what you think about his background. He is a praying man, I believe, is a believer, and trust me, he will be even more so in the next 4 years. My point is this: when God raises somebody up to bring in and to usher in and to set the landscape for the seismic shift, it doesn't matter to me what you think about their past, because I don't know what you think about mine either, okay? So it's not about Trump's past. It's about what God has done through him and will continue to do through him. And he's ushered in a man who would be a part of the release of a seismic shift in the land and a shift into righteousness out of lawlessness and out of love waxed cold. There is going to be a huge movement from people in lawlessness. You could call it democratic, you can call it liberal, you can call it whatever you want. Lawlessness is the biblical term for what we see stacked up most of the time, most profoundly in liberalism, okay? I don't like to define it as much as political. I like to define it as lawlessness and love grown cold. There is going to be a huge shift because evil ran its course and Trump was the metaphor, and the impeachment process was a huge, huge metaphor of what evil does and what lawlessness does in the land when it pushes itself out and tries to implode everything that's righteous. Guess what? It failed. Metaphorically, prophetically, because it failed, the shift, the seismic shift has happened. And the ripple effects of that seismic shift are going to be felt for years to come in continuous ongoing revival in cultural shifts. I believe, practically speaking, you're going to have a lot of people, like in the day of Elijah, the God of fire has come and answered, okay? And a nation turns in a day when the one who answers by fire comes and does just that. When we are left standing here in awe and evil sees that, there is a huge conversion. It's what happened with Elijah. The nation got converted when the God of fire came and answered, okay? And all these prophets of Baal. So we are going to see a huge migration of people who were once liberal, who embraced lawlessness, and who embraced a love that had waxed cold. They are going to shift to the size of righteousness. And that's why I say, I don't make political statements, 2020 will be the greatest landslide victory in the history by the greatest margin in the world. I believe that. Okay, so the other verse was, at the appointed time, where did my verse go? At the end of Isaiah 60. All right, so in the message, it reads this way. I'll read it first in the NIV. The least of you will become a thousand and the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do it swiftly. The word used there is appointed time. In its time, I will hasten it. That's what's happening right now. This is that appointed time. We are in the appointed time. And in this time, that's why the shift has come. That's why the avalanche is happening. And that's what we're seeing taking place. If you're wondering if it's time for you to walk into the thing you were created for, it's time. And we're standing in that time right now. And so I believe that we are seeing the biggest shift in the earth that is going to literally push righteousness into the earth. And we're going to see a massive turn in our culture. That's what the shift did. Evil ran its course and lost. The metaphor in Trump is so profound. Evil did what it could, and it didn't accomplish the goal. It could not. It wasn't ever going to. And when the Kansas City Chiefs won that Super Bowl and Bob Jones's prophecy about revival, you will know that the Chiefs are in place and that revival is about to hit the land. Come on. Who, after 50 years, you know what I'm saying? Like, how does that happen except by God? He is letting us know in every potential way that the shift has come. And when that shift comes and those ripples, what it means too is that the establishment of righteousness, which is the coming of people to Jesus, coming the God of fire answering and pulling a generation of people who have been lost and lawless and all of that, it means that that part becomes very easy. Because the shift breaks everything loose, stronghold-wise, that kept lawlessness and a lot of the evil in place. The shift broke the shackle. I'm not saying there's no more evil in the land. I'm saying there is a seismic shift, which is an unmeasured grace to break the shackles that have held many people in a place of lawlessness, and they will come into a place of love just like that. That's why I see a generation. I remember I said this before, and I'll end with this. When I saw the student in Dawsonville, when Marty spoke to him, and he read his mail on his past, and he went in the water, and he came out, and all of the pain of that was gone. That was a prophetic sign of something God wants to do in a generation where they won't be the 25-year inner healing group like we were. They will be the instantaneous transformation, more like the demoniac who gets set free. Their credentials are the God of the impossible, and they take their small stone and they slay giants with it. And they come into their identity immediately, and they come into supernatural in a way that nobody has ever had done before, because they've already been versed in it. Even if it's been versed in places that were the enemy. Supernatural is the theme of literature for young adults for the last 15 years. Okay, so they're in it and they're hungry. So essentially, they are primed. If we look at them any other way than they are primed, then we're missing it completely. That is what this shift is creating. The shift creates awakening, and the awakening are like ripples going through the land. And the awakening brings everyone to the very edge, like the apex of flipping on a dime. What does that mean? They are so primed. They are so primed and ready. Don't underestimate what God is doing. They will turn in a moment, and they will flip from lawlessness into righteousness just like that. That's what redeemed time looks like. It means that we walk in. That's right. And their identity comes forth on you. We walk in as 11th hour workers, and we reap the benefit of everything that God has sown into the church and all of the ages of the church. It is a cataclysmic, seismic shift time where an avalanche of evil has been broken and is falling off. Doesn't mean there's no battle. It means that the stronghold and the chains for the masses are broken, and their turn into love and into identity is going to be just like that. It's going to be immediate. They're going to flip. I see it in my class every single day. But, you know, when I talked about taking a busload of people to Dawsonville, I talked to my Brit Lit students, not Bible Lit, okay? And in talking to them and sharing Holy Ghost stories and about healing and things that were happening, the whole class wanted to go on this trip. So we're probably going to have to bring a bus. I got to figure that out. Pray into that for me, because we need some favor with that. But when you see the ones that you don't expect, the religious are so much slower to move. But Jesus is coming after the older and the younger son, the prodigal and the kid that was home, and the religious kid. And I have both, Bible Lit and the regular kid. And both are equally hungry and ready to flip. That's right, Tanya, he flips the switch. That's what this seismic shift that happened when the impeachment failed, and that's what it released in the earth. It was the hugest metaphor of evil running its course and evil flailing to the very end, trying to pull back the shift, trying to lock on to the evil and keep the chains in place, and to keep the power of those chains in place. Lost. Warfare is going to look different now, because not only do we know who our God is, the God of the impossible, but a shift has been released in the earth that has broken the chains of so much darkness that the people who are coming in masses will flip on a dime just like that. They are prepared. It is harvest time, and it is time. Harvest time, harvest time, harvest time. We're seeing that at Remnant. People are coming in that we don't even know who they are anymore. The place filled up overnight. Overnight. They're coming off the streets and they're getting saved and they're bringing their friends. It's like, it's crazy. This is it. If you're looking for this is it, it's it. It is time. So blessings. Love to hear your feedback. Love hearing your questions too. But we'll be back again.